Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic word season just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, channelizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the LSO Treat Show. I am LSO, the founder and owner of LSO exclamation point. I am a writer and independent published author of 3 erotic books, yearly calendar, playing cards, and so much more. Also, the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Truth Show, spoken word artist, and an inspirational and empowerment speaker. LSO has that creative diversity that captures you and make you want to become one with everything she says and not be afraid to try it and like it. She introduces you to your fantasies with your freedom to enjoy. LSO has the key to unlock your fantasies, tantalize your thoughts into submission, ignite your soul to willingly surrender to enjoy the known and the unknown. In her work, she is in total control. In her space, her imagination encourages your truth, the escape to pleasures beyond your imagination. LSO vows to keep her creative juices flowing so that you can experience the displays of the words written and or spoken. LSO is creating magic with words and speaking positivity into the atmosphere. Such creative liberty. So come along for the ride, pun intended. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. Are you ready for tonight's show? If not, get ready for the topic. I am a survivor. I am blessed. Note, these are our personal and or research opinions. So get ready to call in and confess your research. Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and a no-judgment zone where your confessions and research are welcomed. Transparency at its best. Y'all know we have Miss K riding out the LSO Radio Treat Show. Welcome, Miss K. Is up in the building, Miss K. What's good, baby? Miss K is in the building. Shout it out.
Hey, in the house.
What?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. But let's get right on into it tonight, Miss K. Today, we have a very special treat. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and today we have a very special guest. We have a warrior, and I am honored that she is sharing her story on the LSO Treat Show. We have Mrs. Tasha Mim. She's a licensed clinical therapist, master in social work, and a registered nurse sharing her story this evening. But her greatest accomplishments and accolades is being alive. Ah, who knows who my God is? Y'all better talk about it.
She is 15 years in remission.
She is walking in her grace and mercy that endures forever. She is on her life's journey with a testament of my God is real that guides her. Quote, I am unapologetically me. In any world that is great, I lead with my heart, which makes me human. Material possessions are not my motivation. She is fierce. She is phenomenal. She is a survivor. Her daily goals and aspirations are to be a better human being today than she was yesterday. Her most impressive and relevant achievements is, quote, I am relentless and determined to achieve my goals and seek to improve and recognize my own faults daily. Self-inventory is a must! Exclamation point in that quote. One quirky fact about Tasha is she knows to be one. She wants to be the one. She does not like seeing people she loves with other people who may love them too, but she's getting better. You know how that goes. But you know, that's okay. That's just because her heart is so full. But Tasha Mrs. Man, Mrs. Hasha Man. How are you this evening?
I am well. I thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yes, yes.
We're so happy.
First of all, before we even get started on what's going on, I know you have your hair done and your face beat. I know that. And we on the radio. Nobody can see, but I know that's what it is.
It's a must.
Am I telling you or not?
You are speaking the truth. It's a must. And that was a fact because I was talking to my husband earlier and it was like, well, what's the sense in doing all that and you're just going to be on the phone? And I was like, well, what? Why not? To me, I'm going to be speaking and talking to people. I can't look any old kind of way. Even my pajamas look good. Yeah. Men don't understand.
I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew it. And I had to put a little bit on my face just because I know you was coming beat. So I didn't want to be up. So, you know, I just put a little
don't you feel better?
On, you know, just to shazazz it up.
That's it.
Girl. Well, what I want to say, we were going to begin, I want to say thank you. I'm so honored that you answered the call when I reached out to you. And I know your story is going to enlighten so many others this evening. And I know it may be some touchy points at times, but if at any time it becomes too much, go ahead and let God use you because I know you want to touch somebody this evening. So are you ready for I Am a Survivor? I am black. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. We're going to start off with what is breast cancer? Describe in your best words what is breast cancer to you.
Well, I would say it's a disease that totally impacts the whole you, if you allow it. It's more than just, you know, a cell that forms in your breast. Because if you look at it, 200,000 in the U.S. per day, the cases are diagnosed. So to me, breast cancer, it's become more profound now than it was when I was diagnosed 15 years ago.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you said 15 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We won't get to that. We're not ready to ask that one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So when did you find out you actually had breast cancer?
Okay. So let me see. I would say 1995 because my youngest was 1 year old, I believe. And I was taking a shower, you know, washing up that I kept feeling the same lump and it was consistent. But I had this lump when I was pregnant, you know, and the doctors never looked at it, never bothered to examine it, nothing. So it wasn't bothering me. How they say? Don't bother it. I ignored it and let it go. Finally, I had changed PCP. A doctor I was working with actually decided to say, well, you know, I'm opening my own practice. And I said, well, you have to take me as a patient. And she did. And that was actually literally the same year that I had, a year after I had my daughter. And her first examination, she felt the lump. Without hesitation, she took blood. And she called me into the office, I think, 3 days later. Okay. 3 days later, she called me in to let me know, you know what, your cell count is high. And I want to check this lump out a little further. Okay. You know, to me, it was fine. Because at that point, my research had nothing to do with cancer, so I was totally not prepared. And at the time, I was a stage two when the results came back after my biopsy. And the lump was there for a while. I mean, it went from a pea size to a nice size. I could compare it to a llama bean.
Okay.
By the time they removed it, the llama bean turned into the size of a small lemon. So you could actually see the change in the lump in my breast. And it was just, you know, it was a good size lump.
Now, from the time it went from a pea to a small lemon, do you remember approximately how long that transition was?
I would say before my pregnancy until it was actually diagnosed. because I noticed it, I think, before I found out I was pregnant. It was very small. I remember feeling it. But I was in school, you know, you're rushed doing other things. You don't pay attention.
Right.
So it was there. It was definitely there, and I was aware it was there.
You know, and it's interesting because we as women have so much on our plate, and we notice things, but we don't take heed to the things that's going on because we feel something else is taking precedence of our time. And thank God, you know, you did switch doctors, and in switching doctors, someone was able to detect it and still detect it early enough where you can get some form of treatment as opposed to it going on and on and on and on without being treated. So
right.
That's a good thing.
Right.
So you mentioned at stage two it was detected. Were you feeling any kind of way, or did you begin to get some form of feeling after you was diagnosed?
Totally, I felt nothing. Other than the lump itself, I felt absolutely nothing. My day went on. I didn't feel fatigued. I didn't feel really anything. When it was diagnosed, of course, I started feeling everything. I think the fear set into where it took over and I manifested to be more in me than it was. But
right.
I continued to go on in spite of. So, I mean, just knowing that you have cancer and the word cancer, it takes a life of its own mentally.
True.
So I think for me, that's what it definitely did.
Wow. You know, that's interesting because that, to me, with any sickness, if you're not told you have it, it doesn't bother you. But until you get the confirmation that this is what it is, then everything just start bombarding you, and now you're beginning to feel what it is they say you have.
Yes. It's
okay,
almost like,
so,
you know, if you're scratching, you scratch your back, and, you know, somebody else is telling you, well, you know, you have a lot of scars on your back from scratching. All of a sudden, the same scar becomes bigger and bigger because you make it that, because mentally, now that's what's in your head. So you can make anything big when you mentally put focus on it. And that's what I did.
Right. Very interesting because now that you're aware, so at that time when you found out and now that you're aware, did you become proactive or reactive?
I became neither. You know what?
Okay.
My first thought was, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my hair. I became vain. It was like, wait, I can't lose my eyebrows? I can't lose my hair. How am I going to go out in these streets with a wig? That's what my focus was. And anybody that knows me knows that that is such not a lie. For me, I have never gone without my hair done, without my face done, and that was my fear. Honestly, you know, it wasn't even the cancer anymore. It was, oh, my God, you know, how am I going to master? It was a vanity. The vanity for me was there, and it was like, oh, God, how dare you? How the hell am I going to get these eyebrows on now? You know, what am I going to do for eyelashes? It was all vanity. But that's what, I mean, think about it. You live your life with a head full of hair to think that you're going to be bald. How am I going to look bald? What am I going to look like? What people are going to start saying? You know, it's all about the look. So it wasn't at that time me being proactive or reactive. It was all the vanity.
Okay, so once you got over the vanity, then how did you respond? At any time, did you believe my personality will outshine anything? It will outshine my hair loss. It will outshine me not wearing makeup. Did you ever think about that, how much you are loved and how much love you give to others, that all of that will outshine of the vanity that you was just going through?
No. I became, personally, I became doubtful. I lost a lot of faith. I basically, and this is just personal because a lot of people I didn't share it with. So it became my own journey.
Right.
And I just felt like I had, this was something else that I was going to beat. I was going to beat it and, you know, damn everything. I remember at that time, I actually stopped going to church for a period of time because I felt almost like it was hopeless. I dedicated all of this time in my life thus far, you know, giving and doing for others. And, like, this happens to me. Like, wow, you know, what didn't I do? What didn't I do right? How, why me? Like, why did you pick me?
Right.
I have two children. This is my youngest I just have, who's only a year old. Like, how am I going to cope? And you're not really thinking on the coping mechanisms at that time because you're barely thinking about living. You're barely, you know, even in your head contemplating seeing tomorrow. So for me, it was about getting everything done. I think I already made my obituary, and it's no lie. I did my obituary probably three times, but at that time, I did a whole obituary in one night with my oldest daughter.
Okay.
Her who I didn't want there, who could be there, and who would she bet not let speak. And she looked at me like if I was crazy, but she didn't know what I was going through. I just told her where it was in case she needed it, and we went on with our day.
Wow, that's a lot of weight for anyone. So it's not just you going through the issue itself, but now your daughter is actually involved because she doesn't know. That's a lot of weight on anyone.
Yes.
So that's very interesting. Very, very interesting. So at this point, What were your first steps once you found out that you had cancer and you went through the phase of, you went through your vanity phase, you went through your phase of telling your daughter with your obituary. Now, what are your first steps? Now, how are you moving forward?
Well, at that point, I was working at the hospital, so I would ask doctors that I worked with. I was Googling. I, you know, did my research. All of the things. Now, I would never do, you know, because a lot of times we think that we could Google everything, you know. Oh,
right.
I have a bump. Let me Google it. And, let me ask this person because they went through something just like that. No, everybody's story is different. What I went through, I went through. It doesn't mean that that's what you want to go through. And every doctor is not in the profession of what you are actually diagnosed with. So that's exactly what happened. A doctor that was actually, he had no background in cancer, which I really didn't see the correlation at the time, was actually giving me advice on what to do and telling me to do surgery and, you know, let them remove it and do this and do that. And at that time, I'm listening to him because I worked directly with him, not realizing that, you know, you have to be careful who you listen to.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
It's like you can't go to the Chinese restaurant and get a pizza and think it's going to be the same. Like everybody is in a profession for a reason.
Absolutely.
You know, so you have to make sure you do your work and your research. And at that point, I reached out to Sloan Kettering. I had a doctor that worked with me had moved his practice at that time. And I mean, that's how awesome God is. Let me tell you. At that time, Sloan Kettering was a place that I heard and saw on TV. I never knew anything about it. And he switched his practice there. And when I called him to inquire if he could get me information, he was the one that actually enlightened me to Cancers of America in Philadelphia. And that's who actually was able to educate me further and assist me here in Brooklyn how to follow up and what the do's and don'ts were, because this was their profession. This was their craft. They mastered it, you know? So who best to go to than someone who was really able to guide you in the right way? So I'm very thankful for that.
Well, that's great. You made a very valid point because Google, although it's great for getting information, be mindful of how you utilize that information that you get, because that information may not be general, or it may be general information, but it may not apply directly to you and your circumstance, as well as getting information from other people. Now, yes, like someone who may have gone through cancer, be it the same kind you have or a different kind, they can kind of guide you or give you their perspective. But when you go into doctors, you need someone who's affiliated with what you specifically are going through so that you can get the answers for you. Everything has to be centered around you. Like, for yeah. instance, you're not going to go to a podiatrist because you have breast cancer. Because
exactly.
he can give you some medical information, but that's not his specialty. So,
and it's just not the specialty.
How far
it's
is
almost
that information going to go for you?
Exactly.
So that's great that you understood that at that point, that the information, to stop getting so much information from other doctors and get a focal point so that you can get the best treatment that it is for you. So at that time, in offering options from your doctor, what were the treatments that was designed for you?
Well, they gave, basically to give you all the treatments that are available, and there's six, let's say, because surgery is an option, and surgery is where they cut the cancer out, right? The chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and that's using the special medicines to shrink or kill the cells, which a lot of times the doctors will encourage you to do. Then they have hormonal therapy, which blocks the cancer cells from getting the hormones they need to grow. There's biological therapy, which is targeted therapy. And what this is it uses the body's immune system to fight the cancer cells. The other option is radiation. Radiation as well is a therapy, and it's a treatment that uses high energy rays to help uh-huh. destroy the cancer cells. And then the sixth one was medication management therapy, where you're given a pill that you have to take daily. And with that, they okay. usually combine it with some radiation. So, you know, those are the six general ones that they had. They recommended surgery for me at that time. I let them go in to do the biopsy, but I refused to have surgery because in my research,
okay.
and this is my research, let's be clear, mine, this is my way of handling my treatment. Because I, you know, everything is not for everybody. I refused to do surgery. In my research, I found that a lot of people that actually had surgery, you know, doctors weren't telling them that after stage one, when you're in stage two, the cancer can spread. And anything that air is applied, air spreads. So them going in or opening me would actually cause my cancer to spread. And that was enough for me to know that that was something I didn't want to do. I love my doctor. I trusted my doctor. However, I had to trust my gut.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And on this one, her and I sat, we talked. I explained to her my view on it. And she, whatever I wanted, you know, it was like, it's my treatment. If that's what I felt, let's do it. So I stuck with radiation and medication. And that was my treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Only problem was is that I had three other cancer cells that actually spread and split off, one cervically and one in my brain. So it actually broke off. And it's called pop-ups. And they happen, you know, genetically, it could happen. And we'll get into that with probably some of your other questions. But at that time, I knew from that I was not going to do anything where surgery was going to be required.
Wow, that's interesting. I already learned something from the first conversation, I mean, when we first started. Now, I'm fully aware that, you know, when you open up someone, once air gets to something, things can spread. That I'm aware of. But I didn't know for cancer patients that after stage one, actually being opened up is more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very interesting because I know family and friends who may have had cancer or still have cancer, and I wonder if they're aware of that knowledge as well.
But they're not.
That is
so
interesting.
Because people go, and, you know, a lot of times they'll encourage you to do the surgery. And I'm not telling anyone. Like I said, let me say again, I'm not encouraging. I'm not telling anyone not to do it, because you will do what you need to do. However, for me,
right,
and what I learned was that after stage one, when you hit stage two, already, you know, and let's go back. Let me just go back a little if I can with you guys. Let me educate.
Okay.
So stage two, the cancer is a large tumor, right? And they've grown more deeply into your tissue. So with that being said, they're already in the tissue area where they can already separate and cause spreading. So for me, that, and then I already found out at that point they saw other things. I already felt that I was at risk, because now stage two can easily spread to another area, and what would that actually do? How would that benefit me? So when I asked the pros and the cons of them doing the surgery, no one could tell me my chances of it not spreading was 100%. So if you can't give me those odds, that means that it can spread. And you want to give me a figure of 30, you know, 70, 30, saying, okay, well, you know what, here's your percentage rate that it'll spread and not spread. Oh, no, I'm going to stick with the odds. I don't want surgery. Let's do something else. Let's do something else. And when we get to the point where that doesn't work, then let's explore something other than the radiation and medication management.
Okay, I'm going to ask this question because I'm curious, because I don't know. Can they do surgery, laser surgery for cancer, or cancer surgery, they only can open you up to do surgery?
Well, everything now is basically a surgery to where it's performed, not where they're actually going in deep tissue. Like back in the day, you know, they actually had to cut you open, and now everything is more high-tech. Laser-wise, I'm not sure, to be very honest with you, because the surgeries they're doing now are actually less invasive than they were back then. However, it's still a procedure. It's still an opening, and it's still the risk of air going in. So you still have the same risk no matter how less invasive the procedure.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's very, very much good information, because those are things I didn't know. And one of the things I've always thought, you know, going through laser surgery, you know, is less invasive. Will that work? But like you said, you still, even though it's less invasive, you're still opening up the skin to get to where you need to go to. So air is getting in one way or another. Either it's coming in through a big incision or it's coming in through a small incision.
Right.
So how often did you go through those treatments that you just discussed?
Well, and that goes into a whole other topic. I don't think you're on yet.
Oh, okay.
I did the radiation and the pill management, and actually it was supposed to be 6 weeks. After the 6 week of me doing it 5 days a week after working every day and doing treatment, let's be clear, I worked every day. I had 2 children, a husband at home, and still managed to take my treatments in the evening, and did it consecutively for the 6 weeks to find out that there was a pop-up. That was the other cervical cancer that they then found. They found another lump that was positive for cancer. So I had to do the whole session again. So I refused to have any kind of surgery to remove it. I wanted to continue with the same kind of treatment that I've been doing, because if it works, why bother it? And I started having bad migraines while I was doing the radiation, so they stopped it, paused it for a second, which backed up the treatment, because whenever you're doing radiation and you break the session, it's almost starting over, because you have to finish and complete those sessions. But at that time, the radiation, because they put it to the isolated of the area to where you actually have the cancer tumor, so you're not getting it really all over. However, for me, at that time, when they were doing it cervically and not on the breast anymore, I didn't realize that there was a pop tumor that I had in the cranial part of my head. So it was causing bad migraine. When I had it checked, I found out that there was another pop-up cell. So we had to continue. So I actually took radiation, I would say, before it was all over, it was a couple of years, because we had to keep repeating it and repeating and repeating. And it was years of on and off radiation. And the medication I took every day, I still take the medication every day regardless. But the radiation lasted years because they had to continue it.
So what was an identifying source for them to know that it's in your brain or it's now in your cervix? How did they know it was there, or what did you feel to make them check those areas?
Well, for the cervical, I felt it because there was definitely a pain. For me, it was a pain bending. It was a pain that was indescribable that I felt, and I attributed it to the radiation in the breast. When I later explored it, I found out that when I was pregnant, actually, it was there. So I had to have surgery, because by the time they actually did the x-ray, this tumor was the size, it could have been a baby. It could have been an actual baby. And I never knew it. So they actually saw it when I gave birth, because I had a C-section with my last daughter. And no one ever removed it. They never told me about it. In my medical records, once I pulled my medical records, it wasn't even written that they saw it. But there's no way you could have missed it. There's no way you could have missed it, because it was there. So actually that was there. And I also had the breast cancer there at the same time. So I don't know how long either or all three components were lingering around, because my focus at the time was the breast. But actually I had this nice size mass in my cervical area, and I had to have a doctor, you know, go in and remove it. And when they removed it, they weighed it, and they were like, well, this could have been the size of a baby.
Wow, that's so interesting that they didn't. Well, it's interesting that they saw it, but never did anything in reference to it. Because people with a C-section, they could have removed it, am I correct?
Exactly, correct. And I believe they had, because they, you know, you do all of these different sonograms, you do different things, and they look for different changes or different forms with the baby. So while they're in there, they would have spotted this, because it was that big. For me, it just looked like I had a nice size gut, but it was painful. And then after I had my daughter, it was still painful. So the pain never went away, but, you know, you just gave birth, your body's going through changes, your snapback is happening. So, you know, the organs are coming, snapping back in. So all of that's happening. You're really not thinking something else is wrong. And then I found out about my breast. So my focus wasn't on that pain anymore.
Right.
You know, when you're going through so
much.
You have
a distraction.
Exactly. You have so much going on. You're not thinking. You're not listening to your body. And that's the problem, because we get caught up in one thing. And my body was screaming.
Yeah, your body will most definitely tell you. And we as women, and I'm just saying directly to us, listen. Because your body will tell you a whole story if you just take the time to hear the story. Don't be so busy doing X, Y, and Z that your body is telling you A, B, and C, and you're not listening to it.
Right.
But, you know, never making light of cancer or any situation, but this is the LSO Treat Show, and we must ask you this question. We have to do this. We have to. How in all of this, because you said you opted to take the pill treatment, how did you feel sexually? What was that feeling for you?
Okay, so in the beginning, now at that
in
time
the
I
beginning,
was married,
there was
I was married to my first husband. So my first husband wasn't getting no pussy. So we're going to leave him there, because I wouldn't know how that felt then. Okay?
Okay.
But now,
left right there,
with my second husband.
Come on now, talk to me.
The pills, let me explain, though. The pills, they do have a side effect. they do cause dryness.
Okay.
You know, they do cause you to have a less sexual appetite. They really do. And that was a major problem that I think a lot of doctors didn't really look at, because they should also have another component when they're given the medication. So women don't know that this will happen, because it's almost unfair to you as a woman to not be able to perform the way your body needs to perform. Because, you know,
correct,
any medication is going to have a side effect, but that's a major side effect. And especially when you're, you know, you want to have your moment, and your moment, you're
mm-hmm.
still waiting for it, you know? So I am proud to say
uh-huh.
today, though, my moments are good. My moments are good.
But change going to come, that's what you're saying? Or change
yes.
have come?
There's a change that came, okay? And it's better. I have bad days, but I have better days. And I have very enjoyable days all at the same time. So there's light, ladies,
that
at the end of the tunnel.
So great. So that answers how have your sex life changed, and that also answers how has it improved or increased or decreased or whatever since having cancer, so or having or being in remission of cancer. Let me make that clear, because you no longer have anything, Doc.
Correct.
So is it fair to say you are getting the dick dose as prescribed? You got your prescription filled?
I got my prescription. I just got to live up to the correct dosage that's being trying to be thrown at me. My husband could stick it down my ear, he would. He's trying to find other holes. So, yes.
Listen,
yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. Every hole have a purpose.
Well, he says that. I think he talks to you too much. Yes, he says that.
No, and he has not talked to me. But I'm just saying,
so.
We can talk.
He said that exact quote.
We can talk sidebar in reference to that. But I'm sure there's some other avenues that both of you can actually bring to the table, because you can have intimacy instead of sex. And
exactly.
You can rock his world totally.
And I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay. Well, on that note,
I've mastered that.
Oh, well, we're going to give you your Lawless Radio LSO name. Are you ready for it with all that you just said? Miss Kay, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're going to call Mrs. Tasha Man, Tantalizing Madame X. What about
that? I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
You like that? You like
that?
So throughout the show, your name will no longer be Tasha.
Mm-hmm.
You are Tantalizing Madame X.
I
Miss
like
Kay,
it.
How you feel about that?
I feel it's fantastic.
Okay, Madame, you good with that? So if anyone,
right.
You know, I see we have a bunch of callers on. If y'all would like to ask Tantalizing Madame X any questions, please feel free to, I don't know how it actually works, like if you want to click a button or something to actually pop up on the screen and show that you want to ask a question. So, but I did know Vixen the question. So, Vixen, wait a minute, I just received a message. Okay, that's something different. We're going to go back to the show. I know Vixen had wanted to ask the question. So, Vivacious Vixen, we're going to bring you on so you can talk to Tantalizing Madame. Vivacious Vixen, you are on with Miss K, Madame, Tantalizing Madame X, and LSO. How are you, Vixen?
I'm well. Good evening, everyone. Miss K, Miss LSO, and of course, Madame. Greetings to you this evening. I have a couple of questions. I know we were at a very serious topic, and then we went to a lighter topic. So I have a couple of questions. One, at stage one, cancer cannot spread?
Well, I'm lost. What do you mean at stage one?
At stage one.
Cancer doesn't
spread. Are you aware of cancer can spread or not?
Well, I was talking as far as
you
me. Right, I don't.
Okay.
As far as I, for me, is my stage was two. I was talking about stage two. I wasn't referencing no other stages.
Okay. Right. And I want to just I think LSO was talking about laser. I they drew, I know, at where we are in 2021, like Madame said, we have gone so far technologically, and I know they do a lot of the surgeries laparoscopically. So did you have any of your procedures laparoscopically?
I had the one in my head, the mass in my head, laparoscopically.
I did
that when they took the tissue sample. But with the tissue sample, I allowed them to do that part. In the late part of it, they did that, and I was actually able to be awake while they did it.
Oh.
Wow.
I was both a matter of God. Wow.
Yeah.
Because all they were doing is taking a sample to test it. I just wanted to know how bad it was, the stage it was. So they had to take a sample of it, and that was the only way I was going to know that answer.
Okay. All right.
So
wow.
And back to your first question with the stage one, I know that was a stage one, and my fears on that spreading from that pop-up, all my pop-ups were different pop-ups. So the size of that was small, and a small stage one, it cannot spread, a small stage one.
Okay.
Anything other than that, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But for me, my stage one was so small, and a small stage one will not spread.
Okay, great. I am so happy that you are a survivor, and so now I'm going to get a light with it too. And I was thinking in my head that some of that medication can be very drying to our parts, thus making our intercourse a little scratchy, scrapey, difficult.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that's definitely a part of the treatment that they need to explain to women. You know, I don't know how it affects men, a man, but for women, that's definitely one of the side effects. And they need to really discuss that, because after you become a survivor, you want to get back into your activity, you know.
Correct.
And I think that's very important. Oh, just one more question. That's one more question, please.
Okay.
During your treatment, were you active sexually, or did that come way after when you were in recovery stage?
Way after. I got married for the second time, and, you know, it was where, if you don't use something, you know, and it's already dry.
Right.
So, you know, after, was, yes.
All right, that was my question, because we spoke about it, and I was like, I know you go through different stages, and I'm sure when you're so damn shocked about the diagnosis, you don't want to be bothered, and you're going through treatment. That's crazy.
No, but I still wanted it. But see, my high spot is my breath. So that's why I can't breastfeed my kids, because I'll be in jail. See, that was my spot. That's my spot.
So you did want it. Okay,
yeah,
that's
see,
what
my
saying.
Breath was my spot.
That's
I wanted what, that part. I didn't want it from my first husband. See, that was the problem. Okay.
All right. Well, my time is up, Miss Madame. I wish you continued health, good health.
You too, sister. Thank
and
you
I'll
so much.
To, you're more than welcome. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Vixen. We're going to put you back on hold. We greatly appreciate it. Okay, Madame, tantalizing Madame. What are or what were some of the warning signs for you outside of, you know, washing and you felt a lump? What were some other warning signs for you?
That was really it, feeling the lump. The lump started for me with the breath. For the ovarian, it was the abdominal pain. But like I said, I correlated that with just having a baby a year before that. And with the head, it was the headaches. So there's always a sign for something. In some cases, everybody's different. Let me be clear on that. Everybody's bodies are different. But for me, there were times I just didn't correlate them and was able to sit back and say, oh, my gosh, is this related? You know, no, I thought I had a headache. You know,
right.
To later find out, no, it was something else.
Okay, okay. So before we move further into questioning, are you okay that we proceed, or should we play some music? Do you need a drink of water? Do you need a drink of wine? Are you good? Your face still beat?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay, well, let's move right on along. Like, do you believe that it is preventive within foods that we eat or something that we drink, or do you believe that there's some form of preventive that will help us in daily living?
Okay, so let's be clear before the phone start going up and telling me, no, don't say that. I'm going to say, no, food and diet cannot prevent you from getting breast cancer. Okay? Some foods can make your body the healthiest it can be. It could boost your immune system. It could help keep your risk factor for breast cancer low as possible. But no food or diet can cure cancer, though some of them, they may help you with the treatment, the side effects of your treatment, or they even help your body, you know, get to the best level of living after treatment. You know, some food choices may help cancer treatment work more effectively or might help you live a longer and healthier life. But do I believe, do Tasha, Monique, man believe that it can cure it? No, I don't believe that, no.
Okay, I just want to correct you on one thing. Your name is Tantalizing
Madame X. Tantalizing Madame X.
Okay, okay. We got to get that straight. Okay, thank
you. My apologies.
Now, we had mentioned earlier about you going to church, so I'm going to ask, do you believe in God?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Yes, 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 I do.
Okay. Now, if, well, we say, I'm not even going to say if so, because now we know you believe in God. What part did your faith play in making decisions moving forward? Because I know you said at one point, you know, you was like, why am I going to church? This, you know, and I still got cancer. Or why am I praying and I still got cancer? Or you ask where God is in this situation. How has he played a role in you making decisions moving forward, and how have your faith and believing played a role?
You know, it's funny because when things happen, I think our first human reaction is to just give up. And, you know, you start thinking the worst, and you want to blame everyone. Everyone is at fault, you know, including God, you know. And that's, I was in the in-between. In the in-between where I lost that faith. After, I think, maybe the third pop-up, I think it was the mass in my head, I actually had to surrender. And, you know, it was where my faith had to be the top choice for me to get through this. And my faith at that point, when the mass was found in my head, was a huge, huge part of me getting through what I was about to face. You know, I had to have complete trust and confidence in someone and something. And it wasn't me just only finding that in God, but I had to find it in me. You know, I lost it in me. You know, it's always been there because God already had it there for me, but I had to find it in me for myself because I lost it.
Right.
You know, and once I regained that, it was no stopping me.
Right. You know, sometimes I always say in any and all situations, God lays us down in green pastures, and he lays us down to get our attention because a lot of times we lose focus. Like the other morning, you know, I got up and got ready for work, and, you know, I go through my usual routine, and I was like, oh, my gosh, God, I apologize because I didn't say thank you.
Ooh.
I didn't have to wake up this morning. I didn't have to have the use of my limbs this morning, but you found fit for me
to be able to do these things. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting up like, yeah, I'm supposed to do this because do you know who I am? And granted,
exactly.
I always say, do you know who I am? But the thing is, do you know who my father is? That's what
he owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. And the funny thing is that God is that type of God that's selfish. You know, he put nothing before him. And I think at that part in my life, I had put so much of me taking care of me. I was taking care of others. I was going to school. I was taking care of my kids. I was doing so many other things. I lost focus on him. And at a point in time, God is going to sit you down and make you obedient. And I think that was my turning point for me to stop and give back that respect and realize who God was. And God came back and showed me who he exactly was, because he was already there showing me. I just didn't want to see it.
Correcto. And I think that that happens with everyone in everyday living, because I believe in God as well. And sometimes we lose focus because we think, well, okay, let me not say we, let me speak for me, that I think I'm the one, I can do it all. I can be in 20 places at the same time and this, that, and the third. But then God'll let you go as far as you think you're going. And then he'll reel you right on back in and sit you down to where you have nobody else but him.
Yeah.
And sometimes people would say they want me to do things and what have you. And I'm like, you know what? The best thing I can do for you now is pray for you. That is the best gift that I can give to you is pray for you, because God is, he's already there, but he can be there when I can't.
Right.
So that's the greatest gift you can give anyone. So when you found out, who was the first person you told?
I think it would be my cousin. I told maybe two people at best. I think my cousin and someone else, but it was two people I told. I'm trying to remember exactly how many. But I think it was two people I told.
And what was their response?
Shock. You know, you already have me buried before I'm even dead. You know, you're already grieving with me when probably I don't want you to grieve with me. I just want you to sit back and encourage me.
Right.
You know, they did the things that are typical, you know, as humans, what we do.
Right.
We panic. We hear cancer, we panic because you're already labeled as dead.
Right.
I think that was my turning point for motivation. I had one simple cousin that, and I think this is the same one I told, and I don't think we ever spoke since then. When I told her, she actually was like, oh, my God, what are you going to do with your kids, you know? And it was like, what? The stupidest things that people say out their mouths. But it woke me up. It woke me up enough to know that I'm not leaving my babies when they're not one of you. And I had to fight harder than you were trying to bury me.
Right.
And I don't think I spoke to that family member since because of that statement, because when you hear those words, you don't need people already setting up their tune. You need somebody that's going to sit there and believe and pray harder than you and fight with you. Not giving up.
Right.
Because I wasn't giving up. I was trying not.
Absolutely. I always say, watch who your amen corner is, because your amen corner can make end or break you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need people to stand in your corner that's going to tell you the truth, regardless how much it may hurt you. They're going to tell you the truth and stand side by side with you and fight with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not go against what it is that you're saying or doing. Now, I know you personally, and there are several, many times I've seen you,
And I didn't even know your story until one day you had mentioned it. And I'm like, what? And one time I saw you, and then another time I saw you, and in comparison, I was like, girl, you are looking good. And at that time, you was going through so much at that time. And we exchanged words. I don't even remember what we talked about. But the point being, cancer may have had a hold of you, but you had your guard having a hold of the cancer, and you still was maneuvering and still going and being about who you were and who you are. So everyone needs a support team. So as you said now, that particular person is no longer a part of your support team. So do you have a good, solid support team now? You have a good Amen Corner riding out with you?
You know, it's funny because that question is so, you be careful. Like, all hands that lay on you are not holy. And I honestly believe that. So with the support team, I have a damn good one. You know, from the very early stage in my cancer, I was married before when I was first diagnosed, and I met through another friend who is now the person I was introduced to is now my husband, and he was my best coon boom. And at that time, I was already had my treatment. If I needed to go to treatment, he would take me to my treatment. We had that bond. He knew what I needed to do. His family alongside my family, that was my support team. I mean, and the support was amazing because I'm a very private person. I don't like people in my business. That's just the way it is.
Right.
That's how I've always been. If there's something to be told, I'll tell you. And if I don't want to tell you, I'm not going to tell you. But there's some people that just know. You know, people that really know you know when something's going on with you. And that's what my husband had. He had that knack for knowing something was wrong. And one time I had taken my blood work, and my blood work came back that my levels were off. And automatically, this is just to show you my support team. Automatically, I had already diagnosed myself. You know, the cancer came back. I was dying again. And my husband had looked at me and said, well, like, really, like, how are you already doing that? You didn't even get the results back. Like, quit it. And, you know, you need people there that are going to reel you back in from your own self. And at that time, that was recently. That was moving closer to when that came. It was probably a couple of years ago. And my daughters were older. So they were well aware, you know, of what I was going through. And they were rocking it out. If I had to go to the doctor, they were going with me. If there was an appointment, medication, they were asking me to make sure that I was taking it. You need that.
Right.
And I feel so sorry for those out there because there's people that don't have that. You know, they don't have that. You need someone, as my husband says, is going to ride with you until those wheels are going to fall off. And that's what I have a group of people. Yes. I have a group of people that are ride with me off the cliff, and we'll be holding on by a string. And all of us will be holding hands while we're holding on to that one damn string. That's
Listen,
how my support team
and that
works.
String is going to be the strongest string ever and pull all y'all back to safety.
Yes. Because we had to for different things. And it's important.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize. And when you don't have it, those are the ones that I feel sorry for. Because without that support, we have nothing to reach for, nothing, no hope to build on. So
Absolutely.
I have a great
Well, I tell everyone, and it's not even just if you have cancer. I mean, just for sanity purposes, Amen Corner, that's not going to tolerate your BSness. That's going to put you in your place when you need it. I don't need my Amen Corner to be yes, ma'am, no, because you're no good to me. Because I know sometimes I'm at fault. But I'm going to stand in my at fault, and I'm going to be right regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But I need you to tell me, no, you are not right. You're wrong. Get it together. Snap, snap. We're not doing it.
Yes.
Now, if you're going to be my Amen Corner, yes, ma'am, I can't deal with you because you fulfilled your purpose in my life, and you're no longer needed. That's just me. That's just me. So you did say that it did spread to other parts. It started in one space, madame. It started in one place, and it ended up two other places. So are you regularly screened for any reoccurrences or any other pop-ups, as you would say?
Yes, I am screened every 6 months for the breast, ovarian, and the brain. So all the medication I'm taking, I take tamoxifen, and I take that one pill every day, and mm-hmm. I'm checked regularly. I see my PCP every 2 months just for blood work, because blood work is important, ladies. You know,
right.
Ask your doctor, make sure you go to your doctor, and if you have family history, which I know we'll go into, you know, just be on top of your doctors. Be on top of your doctors to do screening, because a lot of doctors don't anymore, especially since COVID. Everything is hands-off. They like to do telehealth.
Right.
You don't want a telehealth. You want your doctor to see you, because those moments are precious.
Right.
And you need to be seen. You need to be checked. You need to know how to self-examine yourself. Those things are important.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how to self-examine?
I could do it over the phone, but you reach your hand over your head as if you're laying it on your head and over and nail to the side, and you just feel under, right under the cavity of your arm. So you'll feel a stroke down right under the breast, and you'll circle and feel up and down and stroke. And, you know, you already have, as females, you know, when you're going through your menstrual, you might already have a lump. So, you know, you have to be aware of the difference. The pain, some women have this pain and swelling. They'll have a new lump under the armpit, and that's something where it's totally hard. It's a different kind of hard than when you have your period and your breasts become tender and hard. So it's very tricky. You have to know your breasts.
Right.
The thickening or swelling of a part of the breast, so look out for that. What I do is I stand in the mirror. I have, you know, my husband hates when I say this, I'm not going to say it. But I stand in front of the mirror, and I have my breast out of the shower, and a lot of times I look for anything that's abnormal, because that's the best way to look. If you look at it in a mirror, you're able to see from the mirror if your breasts are aligned
right.
and they're on the same level. And it's important, because if you see one that's a little more swollen than the other, you really need to get it checked out. Also, irritation or dimpling of the breast skin, it'll be like a dent in your skin and your breath. If you have that, you definitely need to have that examined. Any redness or flaky skin around the nipple area of the breast, as if
right.
there's leakage, that needs to be checked out. Some women think they're lactating. Some women naturally do lactate. However,
right.
if you're lactating, and ask yourself this question, you know, it's red and sore, then you definitely need to get it checked out. You know, so you pull in of the nipple, or if there's pain in the area, so you'll press the nipple tip, that'll let you know if there's any pain, you definitely get that checked out. If there's any discharge other than breast milk, like blood, because if you squeeze your nipple and you see milk but then you see blood, you need to get it checked out. Any changes in the sizes or the shape of the breast, pain in that area of the breast. But, you know, keep in mind, all of these symptoms can happen with other conditions that are not cancer-related. So don't go and look and say, oh, my God, I got cancer. No. All of those
right.
things can happen if other things are happening. Because, see, a lot of times you tell people these things and they'll say, oh, wait, I saw that this morning. I got cancer. No. Don't say Tasha said a damn, oh, Madam X said a damn thing. I'm
okay,
telling you now.
Okay, correct. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just telling you that these conditions could be something other than cancer, but it's good to let your doctor know.
Right. So ladies, get checked regularly. And men, you're not exempt from this as well.
No,
now,
yeah.
you know, I don't know if it's not widely spoke about or men don't get it as often as women. But, yes, men can get breast cancer as
yeah.
well. So men you know, do your exams as well, the same that as she described, you can do the same thing and don't feel no kind of way in doing it. And when you go to the doctor for your checkup, you're not being emasculated by them doing that. They need to check you. These are things that has to be done. The same way you go and you get your prostate checked and they fap, you know, and they wiggle the balls and whatever else they do, let them rub on the breast too, because breast cancer does not discriminate. It doesn't care if you're female.
Yes, because, you know, each year it is estimated that approximately 2,190 men will be diagnosed with breast cancer, and 410 will die from breast cancer. So
because
while this percentage is still small, right, but even though this percentage is small, you know, men, you should check yourselves out periodically, because by doing a breast exam, even in the shower, or while you're just standing up, you know, looking and checking yourself out the mirror, reporting any of these changes to your doctor to save your life. Because, you know, men, especially if you see milk coming out of your breast, men do lactate. Let's be clear. There are men that naturally lactate. So, it does happen. However, you need to let your doctor know. If this is something that you and your doctor are aware of and they tell you it's fine, then that's fine. But you need to let the doctors know, because men, it's happening to you more regularly than you are even aware of.
I'm glad you did, because it's sad, because men specifically feel some kind of way with having the things like that done, but please, you're not exempt. So you need to get checked as regularly. We have a bunch of callers on now. I don't know. Sometimes it'll pop up showing that the person want to talk or not, but I'm not sure if they do or don't. But the person with the last four digits, 7874, I'm going to bring you on. And if you don't want to talk, don't worry about it. I'll take you back off. So 7874, I'm about to bring you on. Welcome to the LSO Treat Show. You're talking to LSO Miss K and Tantalizing Madam X. How are you?
I'm okay.
Can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Jeanette. I'm calling from New York.
Hi, Jeanette.
Welcome to the show. Would you like to ask Tantalizing Madam X a question, or would you like to make a statement? Would you like to ask LSO or Ms. K a question?
No, Tasha is really one of my support that I'm going through with lung cancer. So she's a really warrior and a strong person to helping me battle what I'm going through right now.
Just know us at the LSO Treat Show and the listeners that are listening on now, we are going to pray for you, and we pray that God come in and touch and heal your body the same way he did Tasha's body. And granted, we don't know how you feel or what you're going through, but know that God can do any and everything but fail.
Yes.
So know that when no one else can be with you, he's with you, and we pray that he gives you the strength to go through and endure any and everything that you have to go through. And we thank you for listening in on the show.
Yes, thank you.
And don't go away. Stay to the bitter end. And what you say your name was again? Because we may have to give you a name too, young lady. What's your name?
Is Jeanette a name?
Jeanette.
Is Jeanette?
Jeanette.
Jeanette. Okay, Miss K, we have a Jeanette. We have to think of a name. So we're going to put you back on hold. And we're going to think of a name for you, and we're going to call it out online. So continue to listen in. Thank you. Ms. K, we have to think of a name for Jeanette. We got to think of one. Tantalizing Madame X, you can think of one as well. So, you know, we got to give
her a freaky. She's freaky.
Name.
You have to give her a good one. She's freaky.
Freaky. Maybe Juicy. I don't know. We'll see. Before the end of the night, you'll get a name. So back to you, Tantalizing Madame X. We already spoke about that you're on medications and you take medications regularly. So will these medications that you take, will you be taking them for the rest of your life, or at some point you can come off of the medicine?
Well, right now I'm taking one a day, and with the medication that cancer patients take, it's presumed for the duration of your life. Take a pill, or not take a pill and die. Oh, I'll take the pill. Every day.
Okay. Religiously.
So, yes, I take a pill every day, and, you know, I've sustained. You know, through God, I'm still here. So, yeah, I'm going to take that pill.
Yeah. Listen, there are many other things you may have put in your body, excuse me, and swallowed, pun intended.
And in your mouth, yes. Yes.
Absolutely. So taking that pill right there, take it, swallow it, and bam, there you go, and continue moving on.
Yes.
Because this wasn't one of the questions, but it just came to mind. Because you are an RN, how have your medical background played a part in your treatment and your research? Because people in the medical profession are the worst patients.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can add me to that list.
Oh.
I don't take my own advice. I suck. I'm a bad patient. I'm almost happy my husband is not on. I am a horrible patient. But what it afforded me was the opportunity, because when you're in school to learn and to go through the process of nursing, you know, you learn so many different things, but you're not taught things that you need to know, and especially with cancer. That wasn't even one of the things that we studied, you know. So for me, I was ill-advised on cancer, the effects, the stages, because it didn't affect me, so I wasn't affected by it. And I think a lot of times, a lot of us have that mentality to where we really don't do our research until it affects us.
Right.
And that was me. So once I was diagnosed, I had patients that had cancer, mm-hmm. and to me still, it was just something to where I needed to help them get through. I needed to help this person to meet them where they're at to get to where they need to be. But when it's actually me, I couldn't help myself get past seeing what was right in front of me. So it's different. But it afforded me the opportunity to educate myself further and to see that I no longer wanted to be hands-on with patients. I wanted to be behind the scenes. I wanted to be that person helping someone with cancer get that medical coverage that they were being denied, or help that person get that mammogram that they were being denied because they're under 30 and they have family history. I needed to be that person behind the scenes, being that advocate. And that led me to the change in career.
Wow. You know, that's very important. My niece always to have an advocate. So when you can't talk, you have someone else there who can talk for you or speak on your behalf,
mm-hmm.
and that they know your history. So if by chance you're in a panic attack or you're unable to talk or you're in a state of shock or whatever the case may be, they can come in and just blurt off to the doctors this, that, and the third, what it is that's going on with you, and you can get the proper help that you need immediately, because sometimes, you know, by standard, there's certain medicines that they give if certain things are happening, and that may be a medicine you may be allergic to.
Mm-hmm.
So that medicine you can't use.
Right.
Or maybe something that you don't want to use because it's against your religion.
Right.
So it's good to have someone who knows your history as well, so that if anything was to pop off, you know, you can get the help that you need.
Right.
And it'll work for you. You're not getting anything that will, you know, harm you.
And not only that, a lot of times anything that's going on in your body, when a doctor gives you news that is life-changing, it goes over your head. You're not hearing what all you heard was that diagnosis. You become the diagnosis. The treatment and everything goes over your head. You're not hearing that. You need someone that can help you process the unprocessable, something that you're not able to sit and meet on life's terms. And a lot of times, families don't realize you need to have someone there to help guide your decisions, even if it's not family. That's why for me, being that advocate, you know, to people that I do it for everyone I know, and I do it free of charge, because to me, you know, God blessed me so much that anyone I could help, if they call me and say, look, I need your advice, you got it, because it's not about the dollar.
Right.
You know, it's not about the dollar, because I get blessed in so many other ways. My life has shown people how I'm blessed. But I'm there because I feel we need more of me, because we need to be out there helping those that don't have family, those that don't have that support, or there's some out there that intellectually can't read, can't comprehend, and you have doctors giving you all this information, yet what do you have in front of you? Because you can't even read it. You know,
absolutely.
So you need that support. You need someone there that's going to help you understand and make sense of what they're telling you. Because they use the terms, they use this, but do you really understand what they're saying?
Right. They need to break it down in layman terms. Because I'm quick to tell the doctor, can you read this to me like I'm remedial?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you spell this out, because I don't understand, and I'm not trying to figure this out, and I'm not trying to go home and figure all this out. I need you to tell me in layman terms where I understand and I leave here knowing that this is it.
Yeah.
So as we were discussing, I think we came up with a name for Jeanette. And Tantalizing Madame X, you let me know if this is a good enough name for her. Juicy and Wet.
Oops. Girl, Juicy was my number one. Juicy Wet.
So is that a good name for her?
Yes.
Well, Jeanette, from here on out, that is your name, and you are to be addressed as such.
As Juicy and
Wet. There you go.
Juicy.
So we have Tantalizing Madame X and Juicy and Wet. There you go. Those are our warriors for this evening. Those are our warriors. Okay, Tantalizing Madame X.
Yes.
What is your take, if any, on holistic treatment and medicines? What is your take on that for you?
Okay, so the holistic treatment, it cares for the whole person, you know, and that's what I love about it. It takes care of the person's mind, body, and their spirit, and which is so important when you're going through any kind of treatment, but especially for cancer treatment. That was essential to my recovery. I did it myself a little bit. And now I'm seeing that they're incorporating it in treatments now, which is amazing. And not all hospitals do it, let's be clear. There are very few that are using this model to help cancer patients. But it really makes the patient feel like they are being met exactly where they're at. You know, it lets you know, like, we're not only just a diagnosis. We're more than that. Like, we're a human. This is a person that you're dealing with. And that means so much. You know, and I truly recommend finding a center and a hospital for your cancer treatment that offers this treatment therapy.
Okay, well, those listening, she's giving some vital information here this evening. So is there a background of any form of cancer in your family? If this is too personal, let me know, and we can move right on along. But if you would like to answer, is there a family history background of cancer of any form?
Well, yes. You know, the funny thing is, it's not funny, but the funny thing is that
right.
we
as African Americans were taught, you know, when you're younger, that what happens in a home stays in a home. And you have right. families with histories of things that you never will know about because they don't talk about it. And that's mm-hmm. what basically happened to me. I found out that my aunt on my father's side, and my father has two sides, so he has actually 30 siblings when you break it up, 15 from my grandmother okay. and 15 from my grandfather. And on which side, there were maybe three on my grandmother's side that had cancer, breast cancer, which I never knew until recently when I started doing my own research. My grandmother mm-hmm. passed away from bladder cancer. I had an aunt who passed away from pancreatic cancer, a cousin who passed from breast cancer. And my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer like 10 years ago. And also she had a mass pop-up like I have, so it's genetic. But she had the pancreatic cancer, which is the most of the cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And she had it 10 years ago, so I'm not going to work if she's here. You know, she had a procedure called a Whipple, and she lived to tell about it. Until recently, now she's battling cervical cancer, and she's at a stage four. So,
okay, but you said the Whipple. Can you explain what that is?
A Whipple. A Whipple is when you remove the organs, a Whipple. When you have pancreatic cancer, there's a procedure. And it was funny because I was in total disagreement with any kind of surgery because I've given my take. But my mother is a woman of faith. So with my mom, right. it was where she knew she was going to be fine. I just didn't know. I felt that her doing the surgery was going to have a negative impact, a negative effect. What they did was instead of removing actually the cancer, they went in and removed the intestine. So a Whipple is actually that, where they're actually removing the smaller intestine from you. And they did.
Okay.
And knock on wood, she had radiation after, and she's still here.
Wow, that's another testimony to be told. So in your opinion, you think that cancer is hereditary regardless of what form it comes in, that it's hereditary and it's on genetically?
I think 5 to 10% is hereditary, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this right here shows that tantalizing Madame X, not only does she have a story of her own, she has a story as a caretaker as well. So she knows both spectrums of being of dealing with cancer. And again, you know, prayers for your mom as well. But mommy, we're not going to give you a name tonight. We're just going to leave you as mom. That's it. You will not
yes.
be getting a name this
no.
evening. So
I don't
sorry.
Think I can take tantalizing anything.
Right. Because if she show out, it's going to be a problem.
Yes, yes.
And you know, when they get grown, they get real grown.
Yes.
So we're going to leave her being grown, right? You will get no name this evening. So what do you believe are some of the myths surrounding breast cancer? And there are so many
out there.
And it's just horrible.
Oh, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And, you know, make sure you know the facts about breast cancer. There's a myth that finding a lump in your breast means you have breast cancer. Only a small percentage of breast lumps turn out to be actual cancer. You know, but if you do discover a lump, be persistent. I'm not telling you not to. Please, once again,
right.
don't say Tasha said. I want you to be persistent if you see a lump.
Well,
I just want
you
to know that
say?
Every lump. Huh?
What name did you
I'm
say?
I'm sorry. Tantalizing Madam X.
Okay.
But I want you to know that every lump doesn't have to be cancerous. Okay? But if you notice it and any changes, don't ignore it. It's very important that you see your physician and be proactive. Another myth is, let me see, a mammogram.
A mammogram could cause breast cancer to spread.
Negative.
A mammogram or x-ray of the breast, you know, currently remains the gold standard for early detection of breast cancer. The breast comparison while getting the mammogram cannot cause cancer to spread. And a lot of people believe that, you know, it's been spread around. But I can tell you, if you research, and you could even go to the National Center Institute, it tells you that the benefits of the mammogram nearly always outweigh the potential harm for the radiation exposure to travel. So, ladies, use mammograms to require very dose. It's a, such a small dose of radiation that actually goes into your body, and the risk
right.
from this radiation exposure is extremely low. So please don't let this deter you from getting an exam. Another myth is that if you have a family history of breast cancer, you are likely to develop breast cancer too. That is not always true. While women who have family history of breast cancer are in a higher risk group, most women have breast cancer have no family history at all. So statistically, only about maybe 10% of individuals diagnosed with breast cancer have a family history of this disease. So just be mindful of that. You know, that's why when they say genetically, you know, this one have it, no. And they even have studies you can do with your doctor to, if you have family history, where it lets you know if you're ever going to have a cancer that your parents or your any other ancestor have had. It'll let you know down the road. It's a genealogical test that you can ask your doctor to take. Some insurances pay for it if you have family history. But if you don't have
right.
the family history and you just want to take the test, it's $500, people. I fought many insurance companies to get patients to get this test. So the $500 cash,
right.
unless it went up. But, you know, it's an important test to have if you know that you have a family history. I just thought I'd throw that
yeah.
in there. Another
That's great information.
Huh?
No, I was just saying that's great information.
Yeah, I was just trying to throw it in because it just came out.
Mm-hmm.
My other myth is that breast cancer is contagious. Oh, somebody told me that. Oh, my gosh. You cannot catch no damn or transfer to someone else's body. Breast cancer is the result of an uncontrolled cell wall of a mutated cell that began to spread into other tissues. So, people, please stop that stupidness. You cannot catch breast cancer by touching someone. Someone actually, a patient actually told me that. And I was ready to choke the hell out of him. Like, where did you get this stuff? The husband wouldn't touch her because he said he would contract cancer. Crazy.
Wow.
But that's all the myths that I have.
Oh. Okay, well, I don't have any because I was looking to you for everything. I'm here getting information because I need to know. Like, even when you was explaining to the self-exam, as many times as my doctor explained it to me, my niece explained it to me, I've seen videos on doing it. As you were saying it, I was doing it. And I'm checking like every single thing. I'm
yes.
like, what is it supposed to feel like, you know? And it doesn't matter if you have big breasts or if you have little breasts. There's something there that will alert you to get a further exam. And I know one time I went and I did my annual breast exam and they called me and it was like, you have to come back in and repeat your exam. And I just went hysterical, like, oh my gosh, why do I gotta go back in? But what happened was I had keloids removed from off of my chest.
Oh,
and I told
okay.
the person that you have to mark those off because they're going to
yes.
show up in the exam.
Right.
And she just put a sticker on one spot instead of the whole incision spot.
Mm.
So all of those, that whole incision and all the scar tissue and everything showed up in my image. So now not only did I have to repeat the breast exam, I also had to do a sonogram. And first of all, every time I go and take the exam, I cry because I don't have a lot of breasts. So when they lift and send a machine, she's actually there pushing me in my back I'm like, that's it, lady. That's all I have. So there's nothing else that's going to go into the machine but this piece right here. So she have my whole back in it. And then she say, don't breathe. Don't breathe. I can't breathe because I'm stuck. And then you push every little piece of everything in there. My hand is up and holding this, and you don't push my back, and you're telling me don't breathe. What do you want me to do? I'm stuck. But that's the only way for us to get tested. Even though you can take a sonogram is not as great as the actual breast exam. And I'm making fun of it because, you know, to think back after you come out and do it, you know, you laugh at it now. But in all seriousness, it hurts. It's scary. Yeah. It takes a matter of seconds. But now when I go, I'm like, lady, look, this whole incision, and now I have two incisions. I need you to mark the whole incision, everything, because I don't want any more scares. So I can only imagine how you felt when you got the call that, you know, I'm sure you received the call where you had to come back in to get further examination because they saw something and to rule out. So,
well,
me
not
and
only
Jess,
that, you know, they scare the hell out of you because they'll tell you to come.
Yeah.
But people are already scared to take a mammogram. And, you know, everyone experiences mammograms, and if you never had one, differently because of what you heard. But, you know, I need to let you know, women, if you haven't had one, if your breast has
you
low
need to
density,
get one.
Your breast is flat, let's say. You know, those are the ones that probably have more pain than the ones that have fatter, bigger tissue in their breast. But you need to go. The pain is minimal compared to the lifetime issues you'll have by not getting one. You know,
right.
You need to know. And that 5 seconds is better than a lifetime of hell. You know, and that's exactly what it is because you don't have it. My cousin, exactly. She was diagnosed, mind you, she had a lump in her breast for a period of time to the point where it was large and it was hard. And she went to take a mammogram, and they had the free mammogram trucks out. They still have them actually today. And she refused to go do it because she thought it was going to hurt. So she kept this big mass there. And as time went on, by the time she actually let me know about it, and I actually touched it and saw it myself, you know, I think she was already stage 4. So by the time she first saw it to the time she told someone about it, she was already in a higher stage. So she found out about it in June. She passed away in August.
Wow.
That's the time frame that cancer took to spread. So ladies, waiting, there's no waiting. Waiting, you're really giving yourself no time. You need to get it checked out.
Wow, that's good information because my opinion is when you're scared, I think that's the time you should do it. Because you don't know, and people, stop self-diagnosing yourself.
Yeah,
I don't care what your profession is. You know, go and get checked out. That's what you have health insurance for. And even if you don't have health insurance, you can go to the emergency room. Emergency room cannot deny you. They can't deny you. They have to treat you and let them bill you. And I'm not going to tell you what to do with the bill, but what
let
I am
Let me tell you what to do
you,
with the bill. I'll tell them after. Go ahead. I'll tell them.
No, you go ahead and tell them what to do with the bill.
Oh, here's the deal. If you ever have, and this will happen because insurance companies are so slow with understanding what breast cancer is, and it's sad, but it's especially sad for our community. We have several women that are younger, and they're getting younger by the day, that are being diagnosed. When you have a lump and you have no insurance, first of all, let's get insurance, people. If you need insurance, you can hit your girl up. I can get you insurance. There should be no African-American individual living in this world today without health insurance. It's essential. Mm-hmm. It's so essential. Wow. You need to have your body checked. And there's no way on this earth that anyone should be walking around without that. It's like breathing. You need it. Once you have your insurance, and even if you don't, you go and you go to that ER and tell them, I have a lump that I need it checked out. They're supposed to call down someone, a specialist, to come and check you out and send you for an exam. If they don't, you don't leave. You have the right as a patient to refuse to leave if they're not giving you the treatment that you need. You have to speak to an administrator, and then you call for a public patient advocate of the hospital. Those are the two people that you're going to make your best friend, because that patient advocate's job is to fix your problem. Because if they don't fix your problem, they're going to keep that bill. That bill is not yours. By right of law, that bill becomes the hospital's.
Wow. Listen, y'all, that's some information. And I don't think that's just – I don't think that information is just for if you have cancer. I think that's overall medical information.
That's for any problem you have. Anything you have, you never go and think that you can't get help for it. I don't care if it's a headache. People have bad migraines. People have COVID. You know, people are sitting home and, oh, I don't have any insurance. First of all, that's a goddamn shame. This is 2021. There's no reason you shouldn't have insurance, okay? And if you need insurance, you can hit anyone up on this panel, and they will give you my number to reach, because there's no reason you shouldn't have insurance. That's number one. Number two, if your insurance sends you a bill telling you that I'm not paying for this, there's something called a kitty for every insurance company and every carrier and every hospital, where they're big funders that contribute money for people that are less fortunate. Well, guess what? We're going to become that less fortunate, and we're going to tap into that money that they're holding on and saving in escrow for it to get large, because that's what they're doing. They're putting in savings and it's sitting there and building up when there's folks out here that really need it, because they can't afford that copay. They can't afford that $200 bill. They had to come by ambulance. They can't afford that $300 bill coming in. No, you write them and say, this is a hardship, and I cannot afford to pay this bill. Then you mail that back to them. Make sure you save yourself a copy. You mail it back to them, but you keep a copy with that bill. That's how you get out of paying that bill.
I appreciate that information. Because I know some people who have medical expenses that are extremely high, and they can utilize that information. So I will be sharing your number with them. You just gave me that. I'll also
send you all of the information as well, because they're cancer lines. And let me push that back too. Cancer organizations, which we are not aware of, they donate money to pay your bills. There are several that will donate and pay up to $600 to pay off one of your bills. They'll pay your rent. They'll pay for your transportation to and from cancer treatment. They will pay your gas bill, your light bill. But we don't know about those things, because the people in the hospital, they don't share it. So how would you know? And I'm also going to include that to you so you could put on your site. Those are essential numbers to have.
Yes, you can
definitely tap into that money, because even if you have someone caring for you that's a caregiver or that's bringing you the treatment, they get money for transportation. Now, in 2021, since COVID, a lot of funders and the money has been put on hold. But money that's already in the kitty is still there. So don't let anyone tell you, oh, well, we don't, no. I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to give you several numbers to where you could call and reach out if you need assistance. Only thing with that is that you need to be actively receiving treatment or in a stage where you are. Like, I can never call them and say, hey, I need help. They're like, hey, chick, you're 15 years in remission. We can't help you. You know, you have to be actively within the last year in treatment. It has to be something current and recent, but they will help you.
Wow. See, again, that's more information I was not aware of. And a lot of people are scared because they don't want that bill.
Yeah.
And that bill, you know, sends them in a frenzy and gives them headaches and heartaches and cause health issues because they're receiving a bill with a comma in it, but yet
right.
they need the help.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, what encouragement would you share for those in need this evening?
I would say always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. You know, the best is yet to come. And I honestly believe that the best is yet to come for each and every one of us. And I think believing that is important. It's the key.
Wow. Wow. Ms. K, were you taking in notes? Because you didn't say much this evening. How you feel on the other end?
Well, I first have to say, excuse me, I thought I was muted and I was kind of coughing and stuff. And I apologize because I thought I had muted myself. So let me say that. I was just listening because it's not only is it a very interesting topic, it's like I'm quiet because I really don't know much about it. But it seems like you had it all under wraps, so I didn't need to interject anywhere. You know, so this was really good. It was a very good interview. I mean, you know, Madame X answered the questions like so eloquently, and you know, you just shared your experience, and I'm so grateful that you're here tonight to let us know what you experienced and how you experienced it, and you also educated us on what you went through.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
I can say the education was there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tantalizing Madame X. I love saying that. That's every time I see you, I'm just going to look at you and go tantalizing.
And I have to look the part.
Of course. Let me. Again, I'm going to reiterate for those who may not have heard, when I tell you her face is always beat, I don't care if she's running to the store, her face is beat and her hair is on point. And she just may be getting up to walk around the house for the day. She may not even go outside, but those two things right there, you can rest assured, is going to be done.
Yes.
And those who came on later in the show, her, I'm not even going to say pajamas because she probably have on lingerie or pajamas. You know, you want to zhuzh it up for her because, you know,
yes.
She probably have on some loungewear, some silk or satin loungewear with some furry shoes. And she's probably sitting with her legs crossed or sitting in a chaise.
Yeah, here's the visual.
This is
I'm
how,
drinking some Turkey Hill
tea. This is how I pictured her for this evening. I don't know if it's, well, I know the hair and the face beat is going
to
be
it,
but.
That's true.
But this is how I pictured this interview happening this evening. So, but we thank each and every one of you for joining in tonight on our conversation. We had Miss Tantalizing Madame X on, and we had Juicy and Wet come on and share a piece of her story, and know that we are with you here at the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. We're a part of your Amen Corner. We are part of your support team. So at any time, you can reach out to either one of us. Or if you want to put something in the group in reference to breast cancer or any form of cancer or any inspiration that you can give to the listeners and those in the group, feel free to do so because, excuse me, your story was very enlightening. I know it was very educational for me. There's a lot of things that I did not know, and now I do know. And some of the myths behind everything you actually brought to the forefront and gave clarity for the myths, and also clarity based on your situation. And your situation may be very similar to somebody else's, and they don't know where to turn. And this show will be archived, so at any time someone can go in, and you never know the lives that you will touch just from a casual conversation. So as we begin to close out for this evening, we have this week's birthdays. Of course, you know, LSO is still celebrating her birthday because Ida came and shut down my big 5-0. So LSO will be celebrating until she turns 51.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. I am celebrating until I turn 5-1. And by the way, for those who know the story, I didn't get my AARP card, and yes, I'm talking about it. Because usually you get it between like 48, 49, they start sending it to you, and I didn't get mine. I got mine about last week, and they were spelling my name wrong. That's why I was not getting my card. So when they sent me the information, the application, girl, you better believe I signed up for 5 years. Give me my card. I'm going to the bodega. Here's my AARP. Give me my discount. I'm going everywhere I go. I'm going to a fine dining restaurant, pulling out my card, laying it on a table. Give me my discount. Not
and wait, Dunkin' Donuts, you get a free donut with your AARP card from Dunkin' Donuts.
See, come on now. Y'all laugh all y'all want. But if y'all riding with me, I'll get y'all something free, too. You can use my discount. Not a lot of people have lived to see 50 for whatever the reason. And I've been placed on this earth for 50 years and some days now, and I'm going to celebrate it. And in honor of those who are also celebrating their birthday this week, I want to say happy birthday to Mr. Hunt, Tanisha, Terrell, Tim, Keith M., Judy, Johnny Perry, Be Nice, and Dee Forrester. Happy birthday to each and every one of you, and I hope you enjoy your birthday doing any and everything you set your mind to do. And condolences to all the Black lives we lost, and condolences to those who may have lost loved ones during this time. Know that you are not alone, and you have a shoulder to lean on. Thank you to our essential workers, our frontliners, and our military. Thank each and every one of you, because for the military, you put the free in our freedom. We can sleep at night. We can rest at night. Why? Because you are on the front lines making sure, and we don't want to forget about you. We greatly appreciate you. Don't forget to tell us when your birthday is so that you can get a Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show shout out on your special day. And it may not even be your birthday. It may be something you're celebrating. Let us know so you can get a shout out for your special day. And special thanks to Miss Tantalizing Madam X, who showed up, showed out, educated us. We greatly appreciate you. Miss K, do you have any closing remarks? Miss K, take yourself.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm with you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. We greatly appreciate it and giving us insight on, you know, into the lifestyle that comes along with it. I just want to say, Queens, let's fix your crown, which is a 4-week free intensive that I'm giving starting November 18th. It's basically a walk into divine femininity, helping women learn more about themselves in terms of how to pray, how to manifest, and the difference between the two, sexuality, how your orgasms help you with manifestation. Dealing with trauma, what's your love language, you know, personality traits, things of that nature. So it's going to be pretty intensive. I'm really excited about it. So it starts November 18th. We're going to skip the week of Thanksgiving and then continue the 3 weeks after that. So if you're interested, inbox me at K Shepherd or on Facebook, Khadijah Bell. I'm also on TikTok and Instagram, and you know, we can work out all of the details.
Okay, we'll also put that information in the group, and we'll share that, and I'll also share it on my page for you. Miss Tantalizing Madam X, do you have any closing remarks for the listeners this evening?
No, I just thank everyone so much. I thank you guys so much for having me. It was really a pleasure. I normally do this for work, but this was really fun, and I really appreciate it. And I thank everyone listening, my man clan. Not sure if my husband is on, but I think my daughter is on. So I just thank everyone that tuned in. I thank you, Jeanette. And until we meet again, hopefully I'll be back
home. Her name is Juicy and Wet.
Oh, Juicy and Wet. But until we meet again, hopefully I'll be back on for another seminar, hopefully about relationships and couples and second marriages, because I have some stuff to share.
But,
we'll leave it there.
Listen, don't play now. Don't you play
with
me.
I'm just saying.
Get my emotions all riled up.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so we're going to put that on the schedule in November. We're going to brainstorm on that. We're going to bring you back. Mm-hmm. Making a note now, relationships. And, you know, we just did one on second chances, so that would have been a good. So it's going to be a feedback off of relationships second time around. There we go. Anything else you would like to share?
No, that's all.
Okay. Well, remember, we will be coming to you each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune into lawlessradio.com or via phone at 646-478-5209. And don't forget to invite a friend and have them listen in as well. We have some spectacular shows coming up, and as you heard, one of them is going to be called Relationship Second Time Around. If you are looking for a platform to promote your brand, call or message LSO at 718-666-1336 to find out how you can become a sponsor of the Lawless Radio LSO Tweet Show. Lawless Radio started on the premise of TL, the chairman, with his vision and his promise to support your local come-up. So if you want your music played on Lawless Radio, go to the website and submit your music. Lawless Radio supports independent artists, and tonight you didn't hear from any of them because tonight's show was very important that we get all the information out there, and we got a lot of education on it. So next week we'll play some music, but y'all know what the music is. Let's show our support for one another. Order LSO merchandise at treatsandthingsLSO.com. That's TREATS, the letter N, THINGS, LSO.com. And you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at LSO Treats. My books are also in Barnes & Noble, Lulu.com, and Amazon.com. The titles are Taste and Treats and Erotic Playground. But in order to get an autographed copy, you have to come through me. And also my latest book, Sultry, Intoxicating, and Naughty, you only can get it on my website, and that's a book of short stories. Also, order Miss K's book at kshep-sff.com. That's kayshep-sff. That's frankfrank.com, and you can order her book. It's called Authentically Rich. That's the first book, and I know that book, you're going to need that book for for the seminars that's coming up on November 18th. That's one of the books you're going to need. And she also have the second book. We'll put that in there as well, how you can get that book as well, so you can be prepared for the sessions that she have coming up. In closing for the evening, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show continues to have a phenomenal Monday night ride. And we hope that you continue on this journey with us, and we are enlightening and strengthening you in each and every one of our conversations in full transparency. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and we left you with something to think about on the topic, I am a survivor. I am blessed. As you know, cancer does not discriminate, and it is a very serious disease, and all women should be screened regularly to rule out their possibilities, and men as well. As cancer cures are different in treatments, be sure to get many options to find out what works best for you. And what works for you may not work for everyone else. So medical research is constantly ongoing to explore the who, what, when, where, how this disease is affecting women and also affecting men. So make sure everyone get checked out. Make sure to discuss with your doctor all necessary avenues of prevention for you. And if you have any forms of cancer, we pray for you and all goes well for you and also for your family, because it's not also you that's going through it. Your family may be going through it too. So we pray that everyone comes together and, damn, we work on this together as a team. Make sure your doctor stays vigilant in your health care and with your routine exams. And there are also home testing you can do, as, you know, Tantalizing Madam X had said this evening. So make sure you do those. And then examining yourself, if you feel something is off, please get it checked out. Don't go and examine yourself and leave it untouched. Go further. As research continues, make sure you're doing your part in helping yourself to stay and remain healthy as possible. So let me just tell you how my God is good and what he can do. Like, he removed the cancer, and he gave Tasha a testimony that she shared with us this evening. And we changed her name to Tantalizing Madame X. She has a testimony, and she shared it with us, and I greatly appreciate it. And that was the faith of a mustard seed that is so powerful. That's all you need, is that little bit of faith. Also, my faith of a mustard seed, I pray for these two events, and today I'm telling you, I will be opening up Laughaholics Comedy Show with the headliner, Michael Collier, on Tuesday, October 26, 2021, at 7 p.m.
Yay.
At 445 Albee Square West in downtown Brooklyn. Yes, your girl,
yay,
LSO, brings you to the stage. I am going to blaze the stage, all 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however many minutes I have, going to blaze the stage. Michael's going to have to,
yes,
come on with his fire extinguisher to put it out before he can even step foot on it. So come on down to see your girl, LSO, perform. And you get to purchase the merchandise that I have there with me as well. The tickets are $30. You can cash app $RayDejon, that's RayDejon, the $30, and put in the memo, it's for 10/26/2021, you know, comedy show, and tell them LSO sent you. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, to step into your greatness, shine your light, and it is about you and your business. Move forward, stand in your faith, stand in your grace, stand in your mercy. You deserve it. I always tell people, have a great day on purpose. That's one of my quotes. Have a great day on purpose, because you never know what's going on in somebody's life or what they're dealing with at the time. So be mindful of how you speak to people, how you treat people, because you don't know what's going on in their life. And know that we are all the perfect creation of being imperfect, yet we are still kings and queens, so stand in that. Why? Because you deserve. Every day is a gift to you, and don't take it for granted. Stand in your grace and mercy. Know that you are enough. Elevate yourself. You are great. You are strong. You are loved. LSO and Ms. K would like to thank you for tuning into the show and hanging out with us tonight, and also Mrs. Tasha Mann for joining us as we renamed her to Tantalizing Madame X. We invite you to continue on our journey, and we pray that we get to speak with you next weekend. Stay prayed up, be careful, and stay safe. My hashtag is my LSO journey, and hashtag love yourself organically. Ms. K, what's your hashtag?
My hashtag is authentically rich and self-love.
Ms. Tasha Mann, what is your hashtag?
Hashtag the best is yet to come.
Okay, yours in sweetness, LSO. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.